And not, it's not confined to the Western society. We can see it very visible in the Muslim societies, in the Muslim community in the West, Muslim community in North America, and also in Muslim societies in the Middle East. And that unfortunate phenomena is the phenomena of divorce and the separation and the collapse of the family. This is a disease that is spreading nowadays. And unfortunately, the Muslim community has been affected by this divorce. So tonight I'm going to put in a few points, ways of containing this disease, how we contain it, how we avoid it. There are ways of containing this and trying to get the family together. For those of you who are married, we should listen to this. For those of you who are still single and contemplating on getting married, also you should listen to this. And if you have any comments, if you have any things to add, feel free to add to it. I think the blessings of having family is the most important gift that God has endowed on us, having family. Family is the source of stability. It's a source of happiness. The Holy Quran says about family and marriage, خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. You find rest in your family. You can't find this rest outside in the street. You can't find it elsewhere. You only find it when you have a stable family, when you have harmonious, caring, loving, responsible family. You can find this tranquility and this type of rest. And definitely, the family, a strong and healthy family, contributes into a strong and healthy community and country. The country is not only strong by its armed forces, by its defense expenditure, by its strong economy. Also, it becomes strong and stable when the families are stable, when the families are healthy, when the fathers and the mothers, they live together and they contribute to the integrity and the strength of the family. And vice versa, the country and the community and the society becomes weak and fragmented when the family is dismantled, when the family is not together. When the family being separated from each other and the children have no future, then the society begins to go on the decline. So the health of the family contributes into the health of the country. And now let me say something here important. Divorce should not be a stigma, meaning that not every person who is involved in divorce is necessarily a bad person. No. Sometimes the person is very pure, the person is very immaculate, very responsible, very religious, very committed, very moral. However, his or her partner is not very much so. So not every person who's involved in divorce, we should call him bad person or evil person. No. Some of them are very good, very committed. But the family does not work by one person. It doesn't. The family depends on two, the husband and the wife. Both of them have to be committed. In order for the family to move forward, we need the contribution of both parents. The husband and the wife. Now, few points here. Before getting married, for those of you who are still single, and I know many, many on both aisles are still single, hopefully one day, probably before the end of Ramadan, who knows, we're going to see some of you getting married. If not, maybe before the next Ramadan, inshallah. Make sure that you get married. But before you get married, my friends, you need to understand the institution of marriage and family. You need to read about it. You need to educate yourself about it. You need to raise awareness. You need to know your rights and your responsibilities. Both. Not just your rights, but your responsibilities too. Many people, they get into this institution, they get married, without knowing the meaning of marriage. They don't know their rights. They don't know their responsibilities. All what they care about is the honeymoon, is the wedding gown, is how many people we invite for the wedding reception. They care about these things, but they don't care about their marriage. They care about the wedding, but not the marriage. There is a difference between them. It's good to care about your wedding, but don't forget about your marriage, your future. You have to discuss this. You have to read about it. You have to educate you. If you are a husband, you have to say, what it takes to be a husband? What are my responsibilities? What should I do? How should I become a good husband? Is it a fortune? Is it just something that falls from the sky and makes people, some of them good fathers and some of them bad fathers? No, it's not. It depends on us, on our will, on our commitment, on our understanding, and on our sense of responsibility. So please do educate yourself about marriage. To save your marriage and reduce this evil that is called divorce and disintegration of the family, we have to read about it. We have to research about it. We have to spend time to understand our rights and our responsibilities. Reason number one for divorce, in my opinion, is lack of respect, mutual respect and appreciation between the husband and the wife. When respect is absent, either both of them, they don't respect each other, or one of them does not appreciate, then that would contribute into a big misunderstanding. So the absence of respect in the family is a major factor into the disintegration of the family. And how does disrespect evolve? Where does it come from? I believe it has two reasons. One of them is psychological, the second is social. The psychological reason for disrespect in the family, either the husband does not respect his wife, or she does not respect her husband, or both of them, they don't respect each other. The psychological reason of it is what we call it selfishness. When a person becomes selfish and only thinks of himself or herself and only puts himself and herself first before others, that would contribute into this, creating this atmosphere of disrespect. This is one aspect. It's a mental aspect. Psychological aspect. Selfishness. He doesn't care about others. All what he cares about in this world is himself and his happiness at the expense of others. While marriage is a collective effort, my friends, marriage is an institution. Institution. Both have to be committed. Both have to sacrifice. Both have to give. Both have to understand each other. So this is one reason. The second reason for disrespect in the family is social. One of them comes from a background where his parents did not teach him how to respect others. He or she comes from a broken family. They did not teach him the manners, the etiquette of respecting others. He had no mentor, he had no teacher. He had no guardian to teach him what to do. So he doesn't know how to treat his wife, or she doesn't know how to treat her husband, because her parents did not teach her. When she was young, at home, in the family, they did not tell him or her, listen, in this life you are not alone. In this life you have someone else living with you, so you have to respect that person. And that person is a human being. He deserves attention. He deserves appreciation. Nobody told him these things. All what they told him to do, you know, do good at school. Yes, you have to score the highest point, be number one in your class, go to engineering school, medical school, law school, be lawyer, be doctor, but they never told them to be a good human being. Compassionate, forgiving, tolerant. They never. And this is wrong. We have to change this. We, the Muslims who live in this country, we have to tell our children, yes, go to medical school, but at the same time, you have to be a true human being. Tomorrow you're going to be with someone. You're going to take that person from his family, his parents, into your home. So you have to respect that parent, that person. That person is a human being. We have to instill these values of compassion and respect in the hearts and the minds of our children when they are young, when they are still young. It's too late when they get to the age of 20 and 25 and 30. It's too late. When they are young, you have to teach them how to respect others. We have to share this life. We are not alone. We share this life now with 7.5 billion inhabitants. All of them are respected in the eyes of God. God says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We bestowed dignity and honor upon the children of Adam. So we have to respect. The second reason for divorce, my friend, is miser and stinginess. When someone does not spend, when someone generates good income and good money, but he is unwilling to spend on his family. That is a devastating, devastating factor. That person is not going to be able to maintain a family, to protect his family. You have to have faith in God. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. God says, listen, you are not the sustainer. I am the sustainer who sustain your children and yourself. So don't worry, spend. Give. Don't keep your money for whoever, I don't know whoever. Spend it. You are my agent. God says in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, God says, وَارْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا وَكْسُوهُمْ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. You be the sustainer. You are my agent. The money is mine. I'm giving you this money so you can take care of your family. So you have to spend. But unfortunately, some wives, I know the financial responsibility is the husband's responsibility, solely his, the religiously and morally, the financial responsibility of the family belongs to the husband. However, we have to advise the wives, not to be spendthrift, not to waste the money. Because some wives, they say, well, he's responsible for everything. So they start spending and overspending and wasting and living extravagant. This is also not good. The wife has to have something called good management, tadbir, and financial wisdom. Even if you are rich, does not mean that you waste your money. Be wise in spending this money. This money is a gift from God. It's a trust from God. God has given you this money to take care of your family, not to waste this money. There are certain things that are not necessary for the family. You don't have to buy them, even if you have money. Or sometimes if you need to buy one item or two, do not buy four or five. This is israf. This is tabdir. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. He's ungrateful. Someone who spends the money unwisely, that person is being ungrateful to God. Because there are many people who are hungry. They need this money that you are wasting. So don't waste it. You need to work together, the husband and the wife, to maintain the family in a good way, avoiding stinginess on the one hand, and avoiding what? Waste on the second hand. And we have to teach our children, my friends, you know, these things begin in the home. When they leave the room and the lights are on, they have to turn the light off. Even if we live in America, even if we have a surplus of energy and electricity in this country, they have to turn it off. Teach them. This is waste. Even if you leave the room for 2 minutes, turn the power off. Don't waste. When you stand, when you wash your hand, when you take a shower, I mentioned this in the past, don't spend 2 hours in the shower. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would perform wudu with only this amount of water, only this. And he's the leader of the humanity, the Prophet. And he was the cleanest person, the cleanest on earth. He would use this amount to perform his wudu. And you know, maybe 10 times this amount just to have a shower. 10 times of this, no more of this amount. To conserve water, because he would respect the environment. We have to respect the environment. The Prophet says, even if there is a running stream next to your house, still when you wash your hand and face, conserve water. Even if you are standing on a running stream, running river, conserve. When you conserve, you are respecting God, you are respecting His creation, you are respecting the environment. So we have to teach our children this. Do not waste food. Do not waste gas. Do not waste clothing. Don't waste anything. Even if you are rich, it's not generosity when you start wasting. Believe me, some people say, well, I'm generous. No, this is not generous. You are being irresponsible. You are spendthrift, not generous. Generous when you give to others. If it is extra surplus, give it to others. Why do you waste it? Reason number 3 for divorce is laziness. Sometimes the husband is lazy, he does not go to work. He's irresponsible. He's sitting at home, he's doing nothing. He doesn't want to work. And sometimes the wife is lazy. Her house is a big mess, like a jungle. She doesn't take care of her house. It's not clean, it's smelly, okay? And as if you really went into the Amazon, you know, Amazon jungle. That's not nice too. Both have to be responsible. The husband has to be hardworking, hardworking. If you are not a hardworking person, you are not a success. You are a failure. You have to work hard. God loves to see you working hard and hard and hard and being exhausted at the end of the day. So when you go to bed, you are completely exhausted. God loves to see you like that. And this is good for your physical health and mental health, both. Don't be lazy. Of course, on the other hand, there are some fathers who overwork and they don't have time, quality time to spend with their children. This is also wrong. You have to be moderate. Yes, work hard, but leave some time for your family. Quality time. So take care of your house. The Prophet was asked by women, Ya Rasulullah, you spoke about jihad, men going to the battlefield, carrying weapons, fighting, liberating their land, their country, protecting their communities. Where? How about us? And you said to men, you're going to go to paradise if you do such and such. How about us? He said this brief sentence. He said, Jihadul mar'ati husnul taba'ul. Husbandry. To treat your family in a good way. This is your jihad. This is your sacrifice. This is your battlefield. This is where God wants you to be. Keep your house as a resting station. خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا. Second, your house has to be an oasis. Oasis of love, peace, tranquility. So when you and your husband and your children and the guest comes to your house, he says, wow, this is a place of peace. I enjoy this environment. They grow mentally. Do not make your house a mess. Do not make it a center for conflict. Neither the husband should do that, nor the wife. Both have to contribute into making the house a garden of Eden. And you can do that. And there are many homes like that, I know. Garden of Eden. The Prophet used to spend his best times when he went to the house of Ali and Fatima alayhi wasallam. He said, my best hours when I come to this house. I enjoy the peace because they are never fighting with each other. There is never conflict here. There is no conflict. There is no disagreement. They help each other. They integrate each other. That's the good family. When you stand with your wife and your wife stands with you, and you support your children, and you must bring beauty, you must bring happiness, you must bring music into your house. Music, not the music on the radio, your voice. Some voices are really music, and some voices, Allahu Akbar. So with your voice, with your smile, with your presence, make the house beautiful. Some people, they put, you know, statues, you know, portraits, pictures in their homes to make it beautiful, which is good. But these things would not make the house really beautiful. What makes it really beautiful and attractive is you, your manners, your akhlaq. If your manners are good, your house is the best house, better than White House, believe me, especially now, White House nowadays, you know. Becomes the real White House. So you have to do that yourself. It's a commitment. Don't throw it at God. Don't say, God made me miserable, I married it. No. Please don't blame God for that. Blame yourself. In ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. Wa in asa'tum. If you do good, you are doing good to yourself. If you do bad and evil, you are doing it to your own detriment. So, this is the month of Ramadan, where we change ourselves. Not just we fast, we don't eat, we don't drink. We change. Spiritual transformation. Moral transformation. We have to bring about these into our families. Number one, and I conclude with this, the reason for divorce, the absence of communication. Good communication, quality communication, my friends. Nice talk. Many husbands and wives, they are physically together, but mentally, they are far from each other. They don't speak to each other. Either they don't speak, or once they speak, they always argue. They always fight. They don't listen to each other. Number one, we have to listen to the other side. You have to listen. Give yourself some time just to listen to what he or she is saying. من علامات الجاهل الإجابة قبل أن يسمع. The Imam said, someone who's ignorant, is he does not allow the other party to finish his sentence. He's going to answer him even before he finishes his sentence. Don't do that. Listen. And try to make it beautiful. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. We don't have to fight all the time. We have to control our anger. We have to curb our anger. This is the reason why we are fasting. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So you can curb your desires, your bad habits, your anger. Curb it. Don't speak when you are angry. Leave the house, leave the room, change the subject, turn on the TV, watch President Trump when he speaks. Comedy, you know. Change the subject and then go back to your wife. And when you sit, you have to incorporate reason. Ar-Rahman khalaq al-insan. Ar-Rahman khalaq al-insan 'allamahu al-bayan. Reason. We have reason. Animals do not have reason. We have been endowed with this gift of reason. So we have to incorporate and utilize this reason. At the time of argument, stay away. Leave. Leave. You don't have to answer every time. There is a story that says, and also apologize to each other. Some people, they offend, but they become arrogant. They don't go and say, I'm sorry. They don't. Because I'm a man. A man cannot say, I'm sorry. No. Say, I'm sorry if you are wrong. In fact, they say, if someone says, I'm sorry, when he is wrong, that person is called an honest person. And if someone says, sorry, when he's not sure, that person is called a wise person. And when a person says sorry, even when he's right, that person is called husband. So even when you are right, say sorry to your wife. If you need, if you are waiting for good iftar, delicious one, you have to keep saying sorry. You have to keep saying, I love you. Otherwise, you stay out. You eat in the restaurant. So, my friends, these are the things we need to be. Listen to me. A Shia community, in the eyes of God, is not the community that only prays and fasts. No. It's the community that stays together. A family that is healthy. A family that respects each other. A family that stays away from conflict. That is a Shia family. That's a Shia community. And we have to work on these areas during this holy month. Through meditation, through supplications, through prayers, through Quranic recitation, through dua in the middle of the night, ask God to make you a better husband, a better wife, a better son, a better community member, a better servant. Ask God. And it happens, believe me. These things are not impossible, neither miracles. It happens. If we follow the path, we can reach our destination, inshallah. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya' minhum wal amwat. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات اللهم تقبل منا صلاتنا وصيامنا وقيامنا ودعاءنا وقرآننا في هذا الشهر العظيم واجعلنا من عتقائك من النار اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا واجعلنا اللهم من أعوانه وأنصاره. Tomorrow inshallah, Salat al-Jumu'ah is at 1 p.m. We will see you, and the majlis continues until the end of the month inshallah, every night. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وإلى شهداء الإسلام وشهداء الحشد الشعبي. الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.